This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
So I'm here with Kerry. Did you grow up in Wellington, Kerry?
No, in North Canterbury, Waikuku Beach, which is a tiny little town, maybe a half-hour drive north of Christchurch.
And so what are the stereotypes about Christchurch and around North Canterbury and growing up there?
I suppose when people hear that you're from a small town, they assume that you've experienced a lot of homophobia. And I suppose I did to a point, but because I wasn't out then, I avoided a lot of it. In fact, my most intense experience of homophobia was in Wellington when a friend of mine was beaten up. So, yeah, and I guess that was because we were in a group that were out and proud, and so we were a target. Whereas in Waikuku or in Rangiora, and I was desperately trying to go under the radar. Yeah.
So, did you come out once you left North Canterbury, or
coming to Wellington for me was definitely leading up to it. I had envisioned that Wellington was a place I was going to come to and sort of find myself and come out, and I would discover my community or my people. And so with that in mind, I sort of knew that I was coming to Wellington to come out. And
when you were growing up in North Canterbury, did you know that you were queer or gay, or how do you identify? Is that even relevant?
I identify as gay. I had come out to in my sixth form year to one friend, and then at the end of that year, another friend, and then I paced it, a sort of friend at a time, until quite a few of my friends knew, but I hadn't had a conversation with my family or about it. Until I moved to Wellington, and then I lived with my uncle for about half a year, and that's when I came out, I guess.
And were your friends' reactions good? What were some of their responses?
My first friend that I came out to, she and this goes for a lot of my friends actually, and my parents. My mum especially made it very clear whenever a queer related news item came on the radio or the television, she would make her opinion very clear in support of it, I think, for my benefit. try to open up a conversation, though I never pounced on the opportunity. And my friend Holly, who I...
Was it helpful? Even though you kind of never pounced, was it good to kind of know what her opinions were, or were you weird?
It was good. My mum's interesting because I always knew that it was never going to be an issue with her. Like, but maybe she was one of the most difficult people to come out to in a way, because I'm very close with her. I suppose having that conversation with her would, for me, was finally addressing it fully for myself as well. So in that way, it was difficult. But there was no doubt in my mind that she would, she was going to I knew she wasn't going to disown me or feel any differently about me or anything like that. Yeah.
And the first friend you came out to?
Same thing. Whenever, she would always start conversations about queer stuff and try to bait me, I guess. But, It took quite a traumatic experience for me with a boyfriend, where I was really, really in need of support. It took that for me to talk to her about it. And we went, we were always, her and I were always bunking classes, and we went to the end of the sports field and sat behind this ruined wall and like held hands and everything like that. So everyone has a similar story, I guess. Holly and Polly, my two friends I first came out with, in a similar circumstance, she realized I was really upset about something and wanted to talk to me about it. And so I invited her over and had another really pained like lead up to like talking to her about it. I think I said, Polly, is there anything that I could say to you that would make you like me less or make you hate me? And which I suppose is what I was most paranoid about. And she said, if you said something mean about my dad. And I was like, well, I'm not going to do that, but I'm gay. And Polly is a really wonderful friend because she's so earnest and straight up. And I knew I could rely on her to not, you know, not tell anyone. And the same with Holly. I chose my friends who I could really, really trust in initially. And then once I was more confident with it, I was a bit more frivolous with who I told. Yeah.
So you first came out to your first person, I guess, in sixth form. Did you know before then?
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm sure. I have trouble in picturing or remembering when I first sort of knew, but I know that I do remember when I was very young telling my mum I wish I was a girl so I could wear pink pajamas and and being like utterly obsessed with mermaids. But then it's sort of, I don't know, I think I can remember thinking, I can remember driving back from Christchurch one evening and having heard some statistic about, you know, 1 in 10 men are gay, and I remember thinking it would just be my luck that I was that 1 out of 10 guys, but almost like almost thinking that it would, you know, like it just seems so so unrealistic that would even happen to me. Like I couldn't And then I guess when puberty hit, it was a pretty hormonal time. So I was having fantasies about women and men. And then once, once my hormones settled, it was definitely, I definitely knew that I sort of tricked myself initially. I was like, right, I think I'm some kind of bisexual, but I'll, and maybe I'll experiment with men, but I'm definitely, like, I might want a family, yada, yada, yada. So I'll definitely settle with a woman. But I guess I was just easing myself into, I totally identify as gay now. Yeah. Although, in my family, an auntie, for instance, identified as lesbian and then flipped. So did apparently quite a few members of my family. So, who knows?
So there's a potential that you might have to come out to everybody as straight.
When I came out to my grandma, she was really, really cute. She said to me that she had passions for women as well.
Passions? It's a great term.
Yeah, that was actually a really lovely conversation to have because she initiated it and I was like, she came into my room and I was asleep, and she sat on my bed, and I knew she wanted to talk about something because she was,
she didn't pretend to be asleep.
No, I was pretty groggy though, like, then she, I can't remember how she, spearheaded the conversation, but we were talking about it, and she just said that she wanted me to make sure that I knew what I wanted, and that I think probably she was really concerned that I would have a hard life as a gay person, probably from what she experienced growing up. But then she said that she loved me no matter what, and that she had passions for women, that she gave me
$20. So. She gave me $20,
yeah.
Right.
And, it was really sweet. She cried a little bit and then gave me the $20. Sweet. Which, like, coming out to everyone was as lucrative as...
Yeah, I know. Imagine if you got $20 to everybody you came out to. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So you moved to Wellington kind of... Was it a bit like gay Mecca or queer Mecca or something? And what did you find when you got here, community-wise or your people-wise?
Yeah. Well, as I said, I wanted to be, I guess it was sort of a metamorphosis. I wanted to be gay from the get-go, and which I suppose is unrealistic in some ways. And I decided I wanted to dress differently. I just jumped really wholeheartedly into it. I was wearing eyeliner and...
what did you wear in North Canterbury? Like Air Techs and moleskins or something?
I don't know. I got like... my dad's a bit of, like flannel shirts. Like, we're a hunting family.
So you trade your flannel shirt in for some eyeliner?
Nail polish and bright colours. I think this T-shirt that I'm wearing right now is one of the first things I bought. And I bought this purple jersey. Item that I sort of, for me, represented my coming out was this bright pink hoodie with stars all over it. And I was just in love with it. I was like, this is symbolic of my metamorphosis.
Did you feel like a mermaid?
Maybe not a mermaid. So maybe a little bit like a mermaid. Anyway, I met a gay guy at Massey where I was studying, and he invited me to a party, and I knew that this was going to be a gay party and there were going to be gay people there, and I knew I was going to wear my hoodie, and I was really excited, and I took a friend with me to this party wearing the hoodie, and I sort of like walked in with my friend who was a girl, and I was just sort of hovering and really in awe of everything, and then this person, this guy came up to me and he said to me, "Were you a birthday cake in another life?" And he snarled. It was so horrible. Like, and I was like, "What do you mean?" And like, he just sort of looked at me, and I was like, "My hoodie." And he just sort of like rolled his eyes and walked away from me. And that was really, really disappointing. I sort of like, it was a bit of a crisis point for me, because I was expecting this community and my people, and it's exactly. Yeah, that was quite traumatizing, and I made friends with queer friendly people in my studies, but not gay people, and I spent maybe a year in that sort of community of people, the theatre, Toi Whakaari, Massey sort of lot before I even really properly started going to gay bars and making gay friends. And I suppose eventually I did find my people, but it wasn't as instantaneous as I thought it would be on arriving in Wellington. Yeah.
So how do you feel about your people now, or the community, your communities now in Wellington?
I'm really... privileged in that I'm surrounded by a really incredible, strong, passionate queer people, and actually there's just so much variety. Like there's so much to celebrate within our community, and I think it's so wonderful. Yeah.
So do you think that if if a young man from North Canterbury turned up at one of the queer parties or gay parties you were at, do you think they'd get hassled about if they were wearing a bright pink hoodie with stars on it?
Potentially. I don't know if I'm friends with any of the people that I met at that party or with that person in particular. I can't actually remember who it was. I think, like, any circle of people or any sphere you go into, you're going to not click with people and probably experience hostility for, like, for a million reasons.
Maybe you had a traumatic experience with the colour pink.
Totally.
You can never tell.
Yeah, totally. And I think maybe because it was so flamboyantly gay, maybe he had an issue with it, which I know people do, which maybe stems from insecurities, which is, I guess, maybe just a place where we are at as a society, which is not very nice, but I'm sure, like, we're working through it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Can you talk a little bit more about gay stereotypes and how that, does that impact on you, or you, it's kind of out there, you know, it exists, but it's...
It impacts me in that I get really upset when a particular stereotype, or I guess, or is targeted with hostility, that really bugs me. I don't know, like drag. There's just a lot of negative. Maybe there's not a lot, but you definitely hear negative talk about maybe drag queens or sometimes people, I don't know if it's meant to be in good humour, but chuck around not very nice things about drag queens or lesbians or maybe even the party boy sort of look. But I think, there's some scorn around that. What I think is that with drag queens and with people that are really outwardly queer, that I really super admire that, because it takes a lot of courage to be visible, and it's those people that are going to be targeted with homophobia and with hostility, and it just takes a lot of courage to be visible, I think, and it's by doing that, they're serving, like, our entire community, and I really admire that. And I think it's just such a shame that when you see on maybe internet forums or anywhere, really, when within our community there's hate speak, hate, yeah.
Where do you think that comes from?
Maybe it's that... I know that I really struggled with a sense of identity growing up, and so maybe when people finally have the courage to be who they are, they see that as a really narrow, what's my word? If you don't fit in a certain category, or you draw attention to yourself, or whatever, people might be hostile, and they don't. They feel that you're representing them. Oh, that took ages to get out. But do you know what I mean? I can understand. Like when I was struggling with my sense of identity, I was like, well, why are they behaving like that? Like that. That's not doing me any favours by, like, being so flamboyant or whatever. But and maybe it's just in more recently when I've had the privilege of being involved in more in, like, things like kaha, like youth hui's, and forums for discussion. I've had the opportunity to do a lot of learning and a lot of self-reflection, and yeah.
So is this stuff about Wellington's queer communities or queer community that you'd like to see change or like it to shuffle towards, or is it just happy doing its thing?
Yeah, I suppose I would like there to be a lot of more celebration of variety within our community, and more tolerance of variety within our community. That just it has to do with the time that we're in, that because I suppose it's in the last sort of 20 years that people, that queer people have been able to be more present and be more visible. So there's going to be some growing pains, and we're as a people, we're working things out, and yeah.
How do you find other queer people or gay people in Wellington? Is it just around bars and nightclubs, or? We've just got a group of friends that kind of.
Yeah, it's the circle in which I sort of operate now. I was introduced through a friend I went to drama school with. I'm sure there's lots of entry points. Sure, there's the gay bars. I know that's not everyone's sort of thing. It's not. I really struggle with striking up conversations in gay bars. There are so many things actually going on in the community that I can't even actually remember any of the names now. If you look in the gay newspapers or on the websites and things, or you can sort of, there's film festivals and yeah, stuff like that. I just found my entry point through friendships.
So you socialise and you have your kind of circle of queer friends and stuff that you do and that kind of thing. Do you do other stuff, kind of community work within queer community? Or?
It's been quite important to me to sort of get involved. And there's a lot of opportunity for that to volunteer for things. I did face painting out on the square. And I've done really mundane things like wrap condoms and...
mundane but useful.
Yeah, yeah.
And important.
that's really fun as well, because that was in the... putting condoms in packets was in prep for Out on the Square as well. And it's that was really fun, and that you got to sort of sit down and do repetitive tasks with people and just chat. I've also been involved in UniQ, which actually is a perfect way to meet people. I can't believe I overlooked that before. If you're a student, UniQ, which is sort of a Victoria-based social group for queer people. I mean, there's just movie evenings or lots of social events. I got involved in some queer mentoring through UniQ as well, and some mentoring with BGI, which isn't queer related, but I did a lot of useful learning that has served me in queer areas as well through that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of kind of, I guess that would be quite a supportive role, eh? And so you hear people today and they say things like, oh, well, you know, homosexual law reform was ages ago, blah, blah, blah. Is there still a need for queer support, and is there still homophobia?
Totally. Especially at the sort of youth level. Like, if you're supporting the youth, you're empowering them to have well-being and to be in every area of their life, not just their how they identify. But I just think it's so important that with young people, to make sure that they have it. They're just empowered to feel good about themselves, and no matter what, whether they're
You said a while back earlier in the interview that when you were going through puberty or hormonal, you were you were kind of liking boys and girls, or men and women, and part of that was about, with the woman at least, was about families. Is that still relevant now? Do you still think about families now? Or?
It's a subject that I do a lot of thinking about, and I don't struggle with it, but I'm always my opinion's always sort of changing. I know that if I want a family, like I know I can have a family. I just I know that it'll be different. There's a play called Cherish by I can't remember his name, but a local writer, and it was at Circa Theatre, and it's sort of about that I think maybe with our generation, in particular with my generation, there's a sense that you can get whatever you want, and maybe with the older generations, there's a sense of like you can't always get what you want, which is the line of the play, which is a Rolling Stones song, and I think that there's a balance with that, and after reading that play, I found it quite a traumatic experience, and I was really upset that that I wouldn't be able to, you know, I might not be able to get exactly what I want, but the whole point of the play was that you should cherish these maybe things that you don't have access to, or that you're denied because they shape you, and that while I might not be able to have the vision of a family that I grew up wanting, I can have something very similar to that, and which is I'm not articulating myself very well, but really special in its own way, I guess. And
cool. So what are your plans in the next, maybe you haven't thought about it and it's premature, but kind of plans for the future? Do you hope to stay in Wellington and continue kind of community stuff, or?
Yeah, totally.
Are you going to go to Hollywood and be a mermaid?
I haven't. I've never. Maybe that's something I should look into in the near future, dressing up as a mermaid and living out my childhood fantasy.
You could be a cake mermaid.
I'm always wanting to be more involved in queer stuff. Like when I was able to attend Kaha in Far Out, was that 2008?
It was a while ago. Yeah. I can't actually remember when.
It was something that I'll always remember, and things like that they're just so empowering and so good for your spirit and for your well-being. I don't think I. Even if I do a flip and become straight, like apparently I have the potential to.
you can flip back in.
Well, I think even if I I'm always going to be queer, whether I'm in a heterosexual relationship or not, and I did become decide I. I I always wanted to be with someone, a woman. I think I would always want to be involved in the, really involved in the queer community, and I would always identify as being queer. Yeah. It's something that I really cherish, yeah, and something that I really try to celebrate in my life.